the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have a special commemoration today, the commemoration of the first six ecumenical councils. Might sound a little bit strange to us. Aren't there seven ecumenical councils? There are seven, but this commemoration today, this feast today, was established at a time where there were only six. Over 1,000 years ago, this feast was established when there were only six ecumenical councils. The seventh had not yet happened yet. And we keep this commemoration from antiquity. This is a commemoration which recalls the work of those councils, which confirmed the faith of the apostles in the Holy Trinity and in the incarnation of the Son of God. These first six councils give us our doctrinal foundation. We'll speak a little bit about the work of the councils later in the sermon. But today I want to speak about something related, but different. There's a handout for the sermon, and it's entitled The Cloud. You see on the handout one sentence and two diagrams. Is everyone familiar what the cloud is? Anyone heard that term? Okay, one, two, three. All of you are familiar with the cloud, whether you know it or not. And it won't be from this definition. I'll read you the definition. This is from Wikipedia. The cloud is the delivery of computing as a service rather than a product, whereby shared resources, software, and information are provided to computers and other devices as a utility, like the electric grid, over a network, typically the internet. This, of course, has a theological meaning. It's not just computer science here. The cloud is synonymous with the internet. Everyone has a phone, everyone has a device, and that phone or that device is connected to the internet, and we're able to share data. We're able to share resources and software. I'll give you an example. On your phone, you can fit maybe 100 songs, but on your cloud, you can fit 1 million songs, and you could download from the cloud whatever songs you want onto your phone. Works like this with cable TV. Everyone has a TV. The TV is only good when it's connected to your service provider, where you can change the channel and watch whatever program you want to watch. If you have on demand, you can download whatever movie you want to watch. The cloud extends the resources. It gives us access to data and to services which we would not have were we not connected to it. We all use the cloud all the time. If you're on Facebook, you use the cloud. If you have a Dropbox account, you have an email account on Google, if you log on to Google to search, you're not searching on your phone or your computer, you're searching on Google server through the cloud. And this cloud is accessible worldwide. Everyone who has an internet connection gets on the same cloud and has access to the same data and to the same services. Now, what does this have to do with our life in Christ? The Lord gives us many things in His universe that can be instructive for us, to teach us about who He is, what He's doing for us. Everything that we see in created order is actually an instrument for His self-disclosure, that the invisible God, the Creator of all, makes Himself visible and manifest through His creation. He teaches us through the earthly classroom. Think about the word cloud. Think about Old Testament times. The cloud led the Israelite people through the wilderness during the day and the pillar of fire by night. When Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, the mountain was overshadowed by a cloud. And Moses went into that cloud and he dwelt in that cloud for 40 days. When he came down from the cloud after communing with God, after abiding in the presence of God in that divine cloud, his face shone like the light. Moses was veiled. They had to veil his face so people could speak with him, so they could converse with him. And when Moses went into that cloud, he received something from God. He received two primary things, data and a service. What was the data? When he went up into the cloud, he was able to see God, but not face to face. He saw the back parts of God. But he had a communication with God. he experienced something of God's self-disclosure. And this filled Moses with a knowledge of who God was. Remember, Moses had previously seen God in the bush. And Moses said to the Lord in the bush, he said, "Who do I tell the people that you are?" And God spoke to Moses through the bush, "Tell them, I am who I am. The great I am, the existing one." Now Moses ascends the mountain and he has this communion with God. And he sees the back parts of God, not face to face, because God says, if you see me face to face, you will die. No one can see the face of God and live. So Moses just sees the back parts of God, but it's a greater self-disclosure. Moses also receives a service from God. What's the service that he receives? God gives him something. What he receives is then inscribed on a tablet, not made by Apple or Samsung, but a tablet of stone, right? What's inscribed on the tablet? The law, the Ten Commandments. Moses receives a service from God. He receives the commandments on how to live. What a wonderful gift, this moral code that is the underpinnings of civilization. Moses receives this knowledge of God, and he receives the law. And he comes down, and he gives it to the people. Where else do we see the cloud? God instructs Moses to set up the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is dedicated, that cloud from Mount Sinai that only Moses experienced comes down amongst the people, comes down to their earth. And it fills that tabernacle. And God dwells among his people. Later we see that same cloud when the temple is built. The temple is constructed, and on the day of dedication, that temple is filled with this cloud of God, with his presence, God dwelling among his people. All of this foreshadows the great incarnation, when the Son of God, who dwells on the clouds of heaven, comes down to earth and fills the world with his presence. And what does he bring? Moses brought the law. St. John the theologian says he brings grace and truth. He brings data and service. What's the data? The knowledge of God. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, O Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And what's the service that he brings? But grace, that gift of healing and communion and love and mercy and enlightenment and purification and everything that comes through his presence. He brings this to mankind. But where's the cloud? In the Old Testament, it's very clear. What about the cloud in the New Testament? Where do we hear that word cloud in the New Testament? We see it on Mount Tabor, the cloud of light in which the Lord is enveloped. Moses and Elias appear, witnessing that this cloud is no different than the cloud in the Old Testament. The apostles see it as the light of Christ. But where else do we see the cloud in the New Testament? St. Paul speaks to us about this. The cloud of many witnesses. That we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He said, lay aside every sin, everything that ensnares you. And follow Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. The cloud of witnesses is the church. Those who are connected to God. Those who are plugged in. Those who receive that truth and that grace, that data and that service from God himself. You know, this week I was away and I had to go to a convention in Philadelphia. I do web development and I was exhibiting for a company. And I was very much engrossed with very practical things of daily life. It's a difficult week for me. Normally I live here on the church property. I live in a church building, surrounded by the presence of God. And Philadelphia, God is there too. And he's there amongst the grind of daily life. But sometimes we don't realize that. And I had a difficult week, and I didn't feel that presence of God so much. But at the end of the week, I went to St. Tikhon's Monastery and Seminary, where I picked up our eldest daughter, Elizabeth, who was at camp this week. She was at this place of God. For those who are familiar with St. Tikhon's, it's sometimes called the Holy Mountain. It's up in the mountains there. You go to this monastery and seminary, and it's a place of God. God's presence is there. And I went up Saturday morning with my family to pick up Elizabeth. And when we arrived, the liturgy was already going on. And I came into the church and I heard something. I heard The singing of the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and so on. And I was reconnected with that cloud, with that presence of God, that every generation from the apostles till now had connected with, that truth of Jesus Christ, that grace that he brings through the Holy Spirit. I was reconnected, replugged in, and I became alive again, in a sense. You know, each of us has that experience when we come to the church. This is the place where we plug in. We think about connections to the internet. There are three main types. You can be plugged in physically with a cable, and you get very high speeds. We come to church, we plug in. We have the strongest connection that we can have to God. We plug in. And when we go home, we have a little family church. If you will, we have a Wi-Fi network, and our speed is still pretty good there. Not as good as in the church, but it's still pretty good. When we go out into the world, we have 4G. We have a different type of connection. And it's not as good as in home or as good as in the church, but God is still there. The only time that connection is broken is when we go where we shouldn't go, when we do what we shouldn't do, and there's no service there. When we turn away from God and we separate ourselves from that network and we go our own way. I want to share with you three things about this cloud, this image that we're talking about, and how it can be beneficial in our spiritual life. The first is that all the data and all the services, all the knowledge and all the grace that we have through the cloud, through the church, it's not ours. We don't have it on our devices, and we don't own it in our human person. We share in it through connection, that we know grace and we know truth only in as much as we're connected to God. The second thing is that when we decide that we want our own truth, or we want our own way of life, our own faith, our own morality, our own this, our own that, when we unplug from the network, when we cut off our signal, when we go where we shouldn't go or do what we shouldn't do, that knowledge and that experience is something which will fade with us. You know, when we download things from the internet and we put it on our hard drive or we put it on our phone, those hard drives and those phones, they don't last forever. And those things that we keep for ourselves when we go our own way, they're perishing. They're fading away. Our relative truths, our changing morality, all of that stuff, we have it just for a short time. And it dies with us. It dies with this world. But it doesn't last. The only thing that lasts is that which is on the cloud, that which is shared by everyone, accessible to all, in all times and places. The final thing which we'll say about this cloud is that our experience of God's truth and His grace is directly proportionate to the strength of the signal that we have. When we come to the church and when we plug in, that signal is strong. We abide in the church because the church gives us that grace and that truth in fullness. When we go home, we have to make our family life strong. Our home has to be a little church. We have to make sure that we have a good connection so that when we go home, we still commune with God. And when we go out and we go into the world, we have to make sure that we have that connection there too, so that wherever we go with God. And those places where we don't get signal, we don't go. We don't go there. We don't do those things because it breaks our communion with God. We'll close with two comparisons today that are given us in the Scriptures. The first we heard about the land of the Gergesenes, that had these two demoniacs. Christ cast out the demons go into the swine run down the cliff, and then all the people come out to see what happened. What was remarkable about what happened? First, the miracle, of course. But I think what was equally remarkable was the response of the people. What did they say? Come, give us your teaching. Give us your grace. Heal us, enlighten us, purify us, sanctify us, save us. We've been waiting to be connected with God. What was the response? That's right. They begged him to depart. They didn't want that connection. They wanted their own truth. They wanted their own life. And of course, what they wanted was relativity. And that leads to death. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want Christ to clean them up. They didn't want his way of life. They didn't want his moral teaching. In the other gospel, we heard about the Lord who comes from the Father, and he gives his word to his disciples, and they receive his word. And he prays for them that they might be one, as he is in the Father and the Father in him, that they all might be one. And that everyone who believes in him through their word, through their ministry, that they all might be one, united in the presence of God, that might have this oneness. And they come to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent in the incarnation. Today we commemorate those first six councils that give us the doctrine of the Holy Trinity and the doctrine of the incarnation. People gather from all over the world to unite in these councils and to share what they had received in the cloud, in the church. That one faith, that one truth. And what happened at those councils? But the church witnessed to this oneness. But something else was seen at those councils. There were those who didn't accept, who wanted their own beliefs about Jesus Christ, their own teaching. And they broke away. They separated themselves from the church. They unplugged from the cloud. They left the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, we have been given truly wonderful privilege to come to this church, to be plugged in, to be connected, to have that signal strong. Let us give thanks to God for that presence that he gives us in the cloud, this mystical oneness of the church. And let us be people who invite others to connect, not to the internet, that's passing away too, but to that communion with God, that heavenly cloud, that heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.